Good morning. We got praises. We can't wait to hear the praises.
Thursday, it is official.
His first Easter egg hunt was so much fun with him. He is a professional egg finder now. He got the sweet spot right here, and he was just getting them. So, congratulations, Grandma and Grandpa. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. We got some other praises, don't we? Bonnie's here. Catherine's here. Amen. Catherine, she likes to give us scares, and I'm just like, Lord. But you are a precious sight for sore eyes this morning. You both are. We're so glad that you're here. We also have some prayer requests. Tina's surgery on her foot is coming up this week, so she's asked for prayer, and we're going to anoint her after the service. We got some business of the Lord to take care of this morning, and I'm so happy, and we're so excited. In these times of trials, and these times, you know, the Lord told us that as He comes, as time gets closer and closer to His coming back, that we're going to experience things. We're going to experience those labor pains before He comes. And we're seeing that, aren't we, in our world, with the earthquakes, with the pestilence, with the things going on. But we are here to rejoice in the Lord because we know that our Savior lives. Amen? So, prayer requests. We have surgeries coming up. We have Brad Spung is needing lifted up in prayer for his treatment. He is home, right? Yes. He went home yesterday. Continue prayers for the medications that they can get it right, that his breathing is able to get better through his cancer treatments. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes. Pray for David and his cataract surgery this week. Thank you, Kim. Keep the work family in your prayer. They're still going through stuff. They're still trying to get things done. Bobby? Yeah. I know that the Champions Group helped out on Tuesday. But continue to pray for those that have been affected by the flood that we had last week. Yeah. Christy? Prayers for Steve and his family and the loss that they've had. Sally, prayers for surgeries. Yeah. Continue to pray for Sophia and Caitlin as they try to figure out the things that are going on with her. We're going to shower them. I know in the next couple weeks she's going to be having tests done to see what the seizures are from and the weakness in her leg. Prayed over them, Sophia, last week, but we're going to continue to pray for her. We got a lot of concerns, but this is what we're all called to do. We're all called to come together in the body of Christ and to show each other love, to lift each other up, and I love that. That's what we do.
My brother-in-law, Harold Quick, he's in the hospital over at Riverside.
That's Marsha's brother, Harold. Keep Harold in prayer. And Pastor Jeff and Tina, he's been showing some great improvements. They've had some great days. And we just pray that the Lord keeps that momentum going, that we continue to see His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Yeah, Glenn, Lord knows who He is when we pray for Him. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, You've heard our requests. And You've also heard those requests that we have on our hearts, Lord, that maybe we've kept them close to us. We have some unspoken prayers this morning, Heavenly Father. So I just ask that this morning, right here in this body, as we join together and lift these prayer requests up to You, that You cover them, You pull them closer to You by Your grace, Your love, and Your mercy, Lord. Where there is need of comfort, send the comfort that only You can give. Where there's peace, send the peace that only You can give. And Lord, we're asking You to do the things only You can do for these people that are asking for these healings, that are asking for Your comfort, Your peace, and Your joy, Lord. We come, and it says in Your word that where there are three or more joining together in Your name, that You hear those prayers and it is done. And we give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory, that that's the kind of God that we serve, that there is nowhere, there's no depths that we go down where You are not able to reach us. We thank You for that promise. And during this time of this worship and praise that we've set aside to you, Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit to come in, that you weave in and out of these pews, that you open up our hearts, our mind, and our spirit to receive from you this morning what we can receive from you. We have this joy of new members coming into this body. We just give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord. And we also come into this first Sunday of the month expecting to receive from you from your table, the communion table, and the promises that we have that we're receiving from you. So we set this time aside. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Speak, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I woke up this morning and saw frost on my lawn. But I knew that as soon as the light shined and the warmth from you came from the sun, that it would melt away the frost. It touches our lives. We see your sun in the sun, in the air. And we know that you're present. And we feel your warmth. And we feel your touch. We just have to look for it. It's there. And we ask you to be with us this day in this sanctuary, to sit beside us, to hold our hands, to give us strength and encouragement. We need to allow you to touch us in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for allowing us to give gifts back to you so that we can further this kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just a couple words before we start this part of our service. One of the most important decisions in your life for any Christian is the selection of their church home. And we are deeply honored that you have chosen Faith Church, that you have continued to choose Faith Church to contribute to bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, which is our mission. That's our mission statement, to build his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And Faith Church membership is open to all who profess their faith in Jesus Christ alone as their personal Savior, who desires to continue to move forward in his grace in order to reflect his image in your life. And by taking these membership vows, you are making a covenant that you will faithfully serve Jesus Christ through Faith Church, and that one thing about a covenant is that it is between two people or two entities. In order for the covenant to work, both parties have to agree, right? You have to be in agreement. A covenant isn't something that is bound only here on earth, but it is bound in heaven also. It is like a marriage vow. When a couple is married, it is a marriage covenant. That is why it is before God. That's why it's before witnesses. And as you come before the church to make your membership vows as your pastor and on behalf of the leadership of Faith Church, we come into this covenant with you and we say we will do all within our human power to see to it that it is not broken. We will uphold the teachings of Scripture. We will faithfully serve Jesus Christ through Faith Church alongside you. You are not alone. And we are not alone in this. That's what church is. Isn't that beautiful? That's what Faith Church is. And I know that you have felt that. I know that's part of your testimony, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't want to come to faith. God brought you here for a reason. We will love you and care for you and help increase your faith, confirm your hope, and to continue on this journey. And I am a walking, living, breathing testimony of that about Faith Church. And I know there are many here who are members of this congregation that are also those living, breathing testimonies of Faith Church. And so the candidates that wish to become members, please come forward. Look at this, Faith Church. Look at this. Look what love does. Look what love does. God's love. God is love. Your love. So I am presenting Sally, Tina. We have three Tinas. Tina Adams. We have Candace. We have Rachel. We have Bobby. We have Chris. And we have Tina Roberts. What a glorious day. Amen. And he comes seeking, professing the membership at Newark Faith Church. And so I'm going to be speaking to you as the candidates. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, say I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with Faith Church, which Christ has opened to all people, all nations, and all races? If so, say I do. The congregation is involved in this covenant, church. And so I ask you, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and live and include these members now before you in your care? And if you can please repeat after me, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surrender these people with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And now, if there are any one of you that would like to make a statement or a profession of your testimony, I open it up to you. If not, that's okay. I know I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. But I just think there's so much. I'm so grateful that each one of you, that God has led you here, that you bring something to our congregation that we were missing. And that we have prayed, haven't we, church? We have prayed to bring people into our church that love Jesus and that love serving, because Jesus came as a servant. And so I give glory, honor, and praise to our God and our Lord Jesus for bringing you here. Amen. As members of Christ's church, will you be loyal to faith? Church, and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry? If so, please say I will. As members of this congregation, church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? So please say we will.
We will.
And we have certificates for you. As a reminder of this day, your membership vows, we're going to pray over them, church. Lord Jesus, we come in celebration. We come with thanksgiving and we come with praise. And we just pray over these members, Lord, these newly members of Faith Church. And we thank each and every one for the spiritual gifts that they have brought into this church. And as we both have made the covenant, Lord, that we will support these members, that we will shower them with our human love, Lord, we know that you are the fulfillment of that love. So we just pray that you enter into them and that as they make this commitment to serve and be disciples for you, that you strengthen them and that as a church body, as Faith Church, we hold up our shield of faith around them, that we bring them in, that we pull them close to us as you pull us close to you with your grace, your care, and their love. Strengthen them for the task. Strengthen them for the mission that you've called them to as you strengthen us as the church. That we continue to build up the kingdom of God as it is in heaven. That's our mission. And we're so grateful that they have joined into this mission, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tell you all the time that I get things sent to me from Genesis. And this one was perfect, I thought, for today. Jesus did not say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Jesus was just getting started. He was just starting to commission many people, including you and me, to continue his marvelous mission of establishing and spreading the kingdom of God. That's what new membership is, isn't it? What an awesome privilege and responsibility you and I have to continue sharing the Easter message of life, love, and hope. There is no work more noble than this. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me, be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Amen.
As we prepare to take communion, and as we've just celebrated Easter, and we've celebrated Holy Week, and we celebrated Passover, this morning I wanted to talk about the four cups. And you see there's four cups prepared on the communion table. At every Passover celebration, they drink out of four cups. And so this morning we're going to talk about the four cups, and we're going to talk about how Jesus is the fulfillment of all four cups of the Passover. And so when we celebrate Passover, there's four promises the Lord makes for his people. And we see it in Exodus 6, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Therefore tell the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the forced labor of the Egyptians and rescue you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You all know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land that I swore to give you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." So what had happened during the history of the Jewish people, they had been in bondage. They had been in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years, and they had been crying out to the God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so during the Passover meal, when they would have these four cups, the first cup is the cup of sanctification. "I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians," the cup of deliverance. "I will rescue you from their bondage," the cup of redemption. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm," and the cup of praise. "I will take you as my people." And the first cup, the cup of sanctification, the cup is based upon the first promise, "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian." And Egypt is pictured as the type of sin, and God tells us that sin is the transgression of his law. God wants us to repent and to become holy as he is holy. He's called us to be holy. And the word sanctification means to separate, to be his people, to be a holy people. And for Christians, we must have faith in Jesus Christ, who cleanses us, who sanctifies us to live holy and righteous lives. You are in Christ, Jesus, who became for us wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "For God to hear us, we must repent of our sins." It tells that in the Gospels of John and Mark. The cup of sanctification in the Passover mirror, this cup signifies the beginning of the journey towards freedom. The beginning of the journey setting us apart, setting the Israelites apart as a holy nation. In the blood of the Passover lamb, as the last plague, the Israelites were called to sacrifice a lamb. And they were to take the blood of the lamb and they were to cover their doorposts. And that when that final plague came, the plague of death of the firstborn, that they would be passed over. Blood had to be spilled in order for that to happen, in order for that sanctification, his sacrifice on the cross, setting us apart. Christ's blood on the cross sets us apart. We are redeemed by his blood. We are sanctified by his blood. We are cleansed by the blood of the cross. Amen? That is the first cup. The second cup, the cup of deliverance. Exodus 6:6, I will rescue you from their bondage, from their slavery. We are all slaves to sin, and we need deliverance from that death, deliverance from eternal death to eternal life. And that can only come through the love of God who allowed his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul tells us, but God, be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, from the form of the doctrine which you were delivered. And you have been set free from sin. You become slaves of righteousness. So now present your members of slaves to be holy. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We all so need deliverance. We are in need of deliverance. Deliverance of that bondage of sin. Deliverance from the chains of addiction. Chains of anything that holding us back. Jesus taught his disciples and to not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the cup of deliverance. And as the Israelites awaited deliverance from the oppressive hand of the Pharaoh, they drank from this cup, reminding them of God's promise to rescue them from bondage. And Jesus fulfilled this cup by delivering us from the power of sin and death, from the power granting us freedom through his resurrection. Just as the Israelites were set free from physical slavery, we are liberated from the chains of spiritual bondage and sin. We are free. We are free. We are free through Jesus Christ. The third cup, the cup of redemption. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. In Luke 22, it tells us that Jesus said as he raised the third cup, that this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out for you. The communion cup that we share this morning, the cup of redemption that Jesus raised, God's fulfillment of his third promise. Jesus is our Passover lamb whose blood covers us and saves us from death. He pays the debt and that leads us into new life. We are no longer bound by sin, but we have been set free according to Christ's righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God's grace that gives forgiveness and calls us into this life, this kingdom life, this life of righteousness, this life of holiness. His blood for our redemption, purchasing us from the slavery of sin. He became the ultimate sacrifice, redeeming us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly possessions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawless and purify himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. From Titus chapter 2. And it was after this third cup that Jesus took, that he blessed it, and that he said, this is my blood that's poured out to you. Take, drink, in remembrance of me. It was after that cup of redemption, that the book of John tells us that Jesus took a basin and he knelt down before his disciples and he washed their feet. And let's read from John 13. John 13:2. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. Now it was time for supper. He got up from the supper, laid aside his outer clothing, and took a towel and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel around them. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you don't realize now, but after you will understand." "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. And Jesus replied, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you," for he knew who would betray him. And Jesus had washed their feet and put on the outer clothing. He reclined again and he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash others' feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. Truly, I tell you, a servant is no greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled." And then later in chapter 14, after he's told the disciples of what they are to do by example of being the servants, he tells them, "They will know you are my disciples. They will know you are my people by what? By your love, by your service. For as much as I have loved you, you are to love one another." The cup of redemption. Jesus' example to us as what it means to be a redeemed people called by his name. To serve one another. To serve those that don't know. So that they may see Christ through us. So that they may see Christ through our service to the Lord. So that they may see the love of Jesus Christ through our love. Amen? How beautiful. How marvelous. How miraculous. That third cup. And the fourth cup. The cup of praise. "I will take you as my people and I will be your God." The cup of completion. The cup was taken towards the end of the Passover, and Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples, but he did not drink it because he knew that there was another cup, the cup of praise that he said, "I will not drink until we are together again in heaven." And see, part of our communion is we look at what Jesus, God has done. We look back. We look where we are now together as the body of Christ. We come together and we partake of his body that's broken for us. We take the cup, the blood that has been poured out for us, and give praise, honor, and glory to the blood shed of the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption that he rose up out of that grave, and we are new in Christ. But we're also called to look ahead, aren't we? To look ahead that when Jesus comes back, that we are all going to be at this banqueting table praising the Lord God for all the things that he's done. And at that banqueting table, Jesus told us he was going to take that cup of praise. And finally, we would all take up that cup together, that cup of praise. And at the Passover meal, it tells us that that cup of praise, as they took up that cup, that they read Psalms 113 and 118 together. They would be singing it together. And it says, "Open the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you because you have answered me. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And as we look forward to sharing that fourth cup, because it says when Christ comes back, the church is going first. The church is going first. His people, his bride of his church. And we all gather together at this banqueting table and we sing these praises. Jesus, the fulfillment of all four cups. That's what we celebrate when we come to this communion table. We no longer need four cups because he poured it all into one. The sanctification, the deliverance, the redemption, and the praise that's yet to come. I mean, we can praise now. We get that Holy Spirit praise going when we are set afire by the Holy Spirit and we get our praise on. It's not just in this house of the Lord. I tell you, I turn on that praise music when I'm washing my counters of my house and I feel energized. I'm no longer complaining about the peanut butter or the coffee stains on that counter that is not from me. There is power in my praise. Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord. We've been waiting for so long. Oh, but when we get to heaven, and we share that fourth cup, there's going to be nothing else like it. That praise that we share together when we all gather around that table in the heavenly courts of God, when we all get together, and we sing these praises, there will be nothing like that. That's what we have to look forward to. Amen. We no longer approach God from a distance, fearful of our sin before a holy God. Instead, because of the blood of Jesus, we boldly approach God's throne. We boldly approach his table with confidence that God is our Father. And as we approach the communion table and prepare our hearts to receive the elements this morning, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of all four cups of the Passover through his sanctification, through his deliverance, through his redemption, the ultimate cause of our praise, he has brought us into this new covenant relationship. When he raised up that third cup and he said, "This is the new covenant." It says in Jeremiah 31, the day is coming. And thank God that day came. I thank God as we were going through that chronological Bible, as we're going through the Old Testament, I thank God I am living in a day of the new covenant. That old covenant is rough. Jeremiah said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judea. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. I would have broken that covenant. We all do, day after day after day. We all break that covenant because we are human. Do you understand? There is none righteous without Jesus Christ. We are all lawbreakers. We are all sin. Every single one of us, none of us higher than the other, they broke the covenant just like we break the covenant every day. My thoughts, I am a complainer. I try not to be so hard, but I do. I'm just like those Israelites out in the wilderness. I complain. I do. And I know I put on a good face, but I do. Don't alter my plans. Don't get in the way of my checklist. Don't make me late for church. I've got things to do. And I complain. And I have to get myself out of it constantly, constantly saying, get a grip. What is your covenant? How do you break it? It looks so different. I can say I complain, but I know I do more than just complain. You get me by the water at work. You know, they make jokes about standing by the water fountain at work. How hard is it for you not to stand there and talk about what the other person's doing? Or your neighbor? What's going on across the street? How do you break the law? You look at you. You don't look at everybody else around you. You don't look about what your coworker's doing or how they don't know Jesus. I know I talk about the one that I pray she meets Jesus at Hobby Lobby. But guess what? I need to meet Jesus at Hobby Lobby every single moment sometimes of my day. Come, Jesus, come. Every single one of us has that thing. Could be multiple. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. I am his and he is mine. And nothing can separate me from that love of my Father. Nothing can separate you from the love of our Heavenly Father. There is no depth that you could go. There is no distance how far you may run for him. He will reach you with an outstretched arm and he's going to pull you back in. He's going to write that. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives singing, "You should know the Lord." For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, that when we come to him in repentance, when we come before the Lord and we say, "I have sinned, I know I have done something wrong," that Jesus comes, he drowns us in his blood. He stains us red, but when God looks at us, we're pure white. Through Christ's righteousness, we are cleansed by his blood. Amen. That is the new covenant. That is what we celebrate this morning together. And as we partake the communion, let us reflect on that depth of that sacrifice. Rejoice in the freedom of that salvation he has, that he has secured for us. And these Passover cups, these four cups, that we now just have one. We have one Savior. We have one that did it all for us. And when he died on that cross and when he rose up out of that grave, we have one. And his name is Jesus the Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. As we gather around this table, Lord, we are reminded of these symbols found in these four Passover cups, the fulfillment of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the cup of sanctification that reminds us of our separation from the bondage of sin through your sacrifice. And may we continually sanctify by the blood of Jesus. Set us apart for your purpose and renew us to the work of your holiness, that we may become holy to a holy God. We praise you for the cup of deliverance that signifies that our liberation from the chains of darkness into this freedom of your light, that through Christ's victory over sin and death, we are rescued from the power of the enemy and brought into your kingdom of righteousness and peace. Oh, and we lift up that cup, that third cup of redemption, with our gratitude, our praise, and our thankfulness, that declares the price paid for our salvation, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed his blood to ransom us for our sin, to reconcile us to you in restoring our relationship with you. We thank you, Jesus. And as we partake of this communion, we rejoice of that fourth cup that's to come, Lord, that we are going to sing our praises right now on this earth as we build your kingdom on this earth. But we're given thanks for what is to come. That through Christ we have been brought out of the darkness into this marvelous light, and our hearts overflow with that adoration and with that praise, but we look forward to Him coming again, where there is no praise on this earth that can ever compare to the praise that we're going to have when we are seated at the table with Jesus Christ once and forevermore. And may this communion deepen our communion with You, O God. Strengthen our bond with one another as members of this body of this church, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the fulfillment of this new covenant, that we be renewed in our commitment to live our life as faithful disciples, as being servants like Jesus has called us to do, that they will know we are Yours by our love in Your service. Oh, what a world we would have. What a community we would have. It's changing. And we are a part of that change, and we give You thanks. Continue to be our example, Jesus. Continue to be our example of what You want us to do, how You want us to serve, and where You want us to go. And may we be Your hands, Your feet, Your heart, and Your mind as we do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You do have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You do have to believe that He is the fulfillment of that new covenant, that when He died on that cross, when He shed His blood, that He is the Son of God, He is the Christ, and that He rose up out of that grave. Amen? That is the only requirement of communion. And so when Jesus took His disciples into that upper room, He raised the bread and He gave thanks for it. And He said, "This is My body that is broken for you. Take it, eat it in remembrance of Me." And then He poured all four cups. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't pour all four cups. But like we said, He raised that third cup of redemption. And He said, "This is My blood poured out for you. The new covenant. Take it. Drink it for the remittance of your sins." And you are welcome to come to take from the Lord's table. We remember what Christ did. We know that He is still working within us now. We look at what He's done, but we're looking ahead when He comes back in glory, and we give praise. Amen. Lord, we come after coming together for this time of communion, where we share the body that it was broken for us, and we drink of the cup, the blood that was poured out for us, Lord. And we thank You. We thank You for the four cups that are one, that is now Jesus, the risen Christ, that we lift up our praises to, that we know that He is our living Savior because He rose up out of that grave, and that through Him we are redeemed, we are delivered, and we are called the people of God. Help us, strengthen us through this meal, strengthen us through Your body and Your blood as we do what You have called us to do, to be servants, to go out into this community, to go out into this world, that they know that we are marked by our blood, by our love. You call us to love one another as You have loved us. Strengthen us for that call, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. Chris has asked to have a moment with us.
So anyway, so I was getting ready for church today, and you know, guys, you know, you go, "Oh, I wonder what shirt I'll put on and what will Tina agree with and things like that." And I thought, don't wear any of those dumb Hawaiian shirts you got. That's all I thought. And, you know, so then I just was saying, you know, I was wondering, "Lord, what's this going to be like, you know, with Pastor Haley today and joining the church?" And I just kind of wondered, and I felt like the Lord said, "Well, don't worry about what it's going to be like. I just want you to say something, okay?" And I don't normally say anything, and Pastor Haley already gave us a chance, and I chickened out. So anyway, this is Jeremiah 29:11, and a lot of you know that. You probably have it on a little plaque on your walls or in your office or something. But it says, For I, and, well, by the way, this isn't just for me. It's just not for the people that, up, that were up here. It's for all of us corporately as a church. Okay? So it is, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I am just so happy he said that today for all of us. And I really want to focus on a future. This town needs this church. And there's more people coming. And I never dreamed when I was a little kid driving my bike and walking around down here on the right end of the town, you know, right side of the tracks, that I would ever be here in this church. But we ended up here. And, you know, I'll just be happy to tell you the truth. We just run out of gas here. You know what I'm saying? So we're happy to be here, and we love you guys, and thank you very much for welcoming us, and it's just a great place to be.
Well, we love you. We love all of you. We love you, Tina and Chris, so much. Thank you. And I'm glad you got the confidence, Chris. Thank you. And, oh, one before. It was April's birthday this week. I forgot to say that at the beginning. So happy birthday, April. Thank you so much for keeping this chaos in order. Thank you so much.